Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be here talking about cars, and you're welcome to join us if that's what you want to do. 602-508-0960. My voice sounds a little crackly today, and I didn't even know that till I started here. Hopefully, it'll warm up. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, or if you and your husband are arguing about which new car to buy, or if you want to know what kind of car to, you know, that's the one question I get a lot is, what should I get my kids? And my answer is pretty simple. Buy something old, but big with airbags. That's it. You just get a big Oldsmobile, perhaps a two-door, so you can kind of minimize the kids that are going to be in it. And it's wrapped with a whole bunch of metal, and it's got a big motor in front of it. And you can always have your technician trim the motor back just a little bit. And you wrap your kids with a lot of iron, or pickup trucks are a good idea, especially a two-seater pickup truck, because then again, if they have a crash and there's 10 kids in it, you're going to have 9 lawsuits. So, and I'm being facetious, but that does happen a lot. 602-508-0960. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is a really good shop. We contact Nate on a regular basis, as he does us, when one of us comes up with a problem on a diesel. Not too long ago, I called Nate, and I was up in Payson, and I said, hey, I got this, this, and this. And he goes, oh, I know what that is. He said, that's the fuel pressure regulator. And I said, okay. And he was right. I actually had somebody up here in Payson do it. And I says, I think this is what it is, because you don't come in with your own diagnosis. And they called me back, and they said, that's exactly what it is. So I don't have any tools up here, and I knew I wasn't going to get home. So I just had them fix it, and I was pretty happy with the repair. I was happy with the price, and I was happy with my truck. So Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, 24 hours a day you can go to their website, but they do foreign and domestic diesels, and as you know, Strictly Diesel means Strictly Diesel. So if you're a customer of theirs and you need an oil change on your wife's car, I understand that they'll do that sometimes. They just don't want to push diesel people aside to do gasoline motors, but there's times we're all kind of slow. And speaking of slow, our industry is in flux right now. We are very confused about the direction of our industry, and I'll give you an example of the big problem. The newer model cars need a lot less maintenance than the ones made 10, 15, and 20 years ago. Unfortunately for us, that means we're going to see you less often. Now, before in the old days, we see you every 3,000 miles. And then it went to 5,000 miles, then 7,500. Now many cars are at 10,000. And that's because the oil changed. We used to use Fred Flintstone oil, which is called conventional. Then we have a semi-synthetic, and then we have a synthetic. And guess what? The semi-synthetic is supposed to be 50-50. But depending on the name on the can, it could be 60-40 or something like that. Synthetic oil is much more expensive than conventional 10-30 or 30 weight or 40 weight or whatever. The idea is that with synthetic, you have longer oil change intervals and you get superior protection from an overheat, from your engine wear, because synthetic oil is so much better than conventional oil. Now, let's look at it from this point of view, and I can tell you this came from the mouth of oil experts that work for Chevron and Valvoline. They said conventional oil is good for 3 to 5,000 miles. Semi-synthetic is going to go from 5 to probably 8,500, 9,000 miles. But a synthetic can go 15 to 20,000 miles. Now, here's the only problem with synthetics going 18 to 20,000 miles. I'm going to go 15 to 20,000. People think they can just drive for 10,000 miles and not do anything, and that's not true. You need to check your oil on a regular basis. It's not because your engine's going to drink synthetic oil. That's not the case. It's just no matter what you do, you need to check your oil every once in a while. And it's not that big of a deal to do it at the gas pump. And you ladies, have your husband do it, have your oldest son do it, have your oldest daughter do it, teach them how to do it. But the idea is, it's not that big of a deal, and let me put it in perspective. We probably see 5 cars a year that come in that the engines have been damaged because somebody didn't check the oil. Most of the time, there's plenty of symptoms. We'll have a low pressure reading if we have a gauge. In the mornings, when we start it up, it'll clatter, and the clatter will go away. And there's some other things that you should be looking for. And many of you look at them and hear them, but you don't do anything about them. And to pull in your garage, not on Monday morning or Friday afternoon, but to pull into your garage or your shop and say, would you check my oil? I've got a little bit of a clatter, or I've got a problem. Could you take a look at it real quick? That's not a bad idea. The real problem is that our industry has people in it that are selling you a $100 oil change and putting synthetic oil on it, but the window sticker calls you back at 5 or 7,000 miles. And that's just not really what we should be doing. And then what happens is if we call you back at 7,000 miles and you pay attention to the sticker that's in the upper left-hand corner of your windshield, you really only got 50% of the use of that oil. And there's nothing wrong with running synthetic 10 to 15,000 miles. Go to their website and figure it out. They're all going to be between 10 and 15,000. I use a synthetic oil in my pickup truck. I love it because I know I'm getting superior lubrication. I think I'm using a 530 or a 1530. I don't really remember. Anyway, I know that synthetic oil will turn to a tar much later than conventional oil. So conventional oil on an overheat situation will turn to a tar and wipe the motor out. A synthetic will turn to a tar much later. So if you have to drive another mile home and you insist on doing that, you always run the risk of cooking the motor. Synthetic's going to give you a better chance at doing that than conventional oil. So that's what's going on. We have a caller. Who might that be?
Say good morning to Tom.
Tom, good morning.
Good morning. I love your show.
Thank you.
You give great advice. I need something now because I have a 7-year-old Toyota that I've always taken good care of, but I'm going into my second 100,000 miles that I've not been real comfortable doing in the past. But to pay at the dealership, you just start to realize there's some increased costs. And I know you have good dealerships here in kind of middle Scottsdale. I'm near 84th and Cactus. Park. Do you have a good dealer that to take a car for routine maintenance on a Toyota?
I don't have anybody in that area. I have someone down the 101 on McDowell.
Okay.
Hey, let me ask you two questions. Where do you work? Maybe I can find one close to where you work.
Well, I work in a couple places. I'm way over in Glendale, 56th and Thunderbird.
Okay.
I'm also down near the VA hospital. Where I've tended to take it to a local dealership there where I got it. And then I'm way out in Goodyear, but that would not be a good place. So
okay.
I'm thinking down at, like, Osborne and 3rd Street. And
you know, I think that there's still a shop down there. Whitey Om Joe used to be, he's a buddy of mine today. And we all started in the gas station business in the 60s and the 70s. And Whitey owns Whitey's Automotive, and he's on Thomas and Civic Center. But he doesn't own it anymore, but I talked to him the other day, and he was really proud of the team that's running it now. Just another mile south is Bell Automotive, and that's at McDowell in the 101, just west. Craig and Vicky are great people. But I want you to know that you can put whatever oil in that you want. You don't have to change your oil at 3,000 miles, but I sense that that's exactly what I was talking about. We can't put a premium oil in it and then deny you the opportunity to use the oil and experience the longer oil change. And then what's happening is because we don't see you, then what happens is when you do come in, we give you a laundry list of things that you need because we know we'll not see you for 10,000 miles, 15,000 miles. So there's some
synthetic. What the dealership's been doing is very interesting. At 5,000, they don't change the synthetic, but they add some sort of additive at 5,000, and then they change the whole thing over at 10,000.
Okay. Well, let me explain why I don't like that. Now, first, let me tell you that I'm an oil expert. Okay, I've been trained by both Valvoline and Chevron, so I have already been certified as somebody who, when you use an additive on any oil we have today, you throw that oil out of specifications. And if you don't think our laboratories can't figure that out, you're wrong. So this idea, see, it's called warm and fuzzy. You know, Tom, we've got this additive that just works great on Toyotas. And what it does is it lubricates the upper valve seals. It kind of cleans up your rings. If you have an imperfection in the cylinder wall, this oil will get in there and kind of contain the combustion. It'll add a little bit of time to your oil change, but not much. But this is kind of taking the oil to the next level. That's all bull. All of it is bull poop. That's all a lie. And the idea to put something in that work is going to benefit you, then let me see the science behind it. Let me see the science. And detergent. Everybody thinks that the detergent is scrubbing bubbles. It's not. Detergent oil carries the contamination. It holds it in suspension. So the next time that tablespoon of oil goes through the filter can remove this little piece of trash. It's carbon, it's metal, it's whatever. So I don't like what you're saying, but let me defend the dealers a little bit here. There's a lot of people that are doing this. The chain store, there's some chain stores, there's some independents, the dealerships, the tire stores that are doing oil changes now. There's a lot of people. Now, I would say half of the industry is doing it right, and half the industry is buttering their own bread on the back of their customers. But, you know, you say to them, do you have an MS, a material data sheet? MDS? Material? I'll get it in a minute because I'll remember it. MSDS. I need some sheet on this so that I know what you're putting on my car. Oh, you don't have to worry about it. We use it a lot. No, no.
1 minute.
I want something. I want to know what it is. If not, then take a picture of the can and send it to me. I'd like to do just a little research on it. But, you know, we do use STP, and I'll tell you what we use STP for. You come in and your car is smoking like a fogger. It's using oil like crazy. We're going to put in some 30-weight or 40-weight, and then we're going to put a pint of STP in it. Your motor's not brand new. Now, I'm talking about the customer. We're going to thicken up the oil a little bit, which will give him better protection, and it'll minimize some of the smoke that's coming out of his tailpipe. But the motor's already loosey-goosey anyway. The motor like yours is 200,000 miles. Well, that's 8 times around the equator. Let's not lose sight of that. So, you know, I don't like oil additives unless there's a reason. If you're using oil, I like an oil additive. If we need to swell up some of the seals, there's some of them that may do that. There's no guarantee they will. But to just put an oil in there to infer that this is going to make your engine last longer or this will make your oil last longer, I'm just telling you that's not true. That's a lie. Okay?
Can you give me those two places again? You said one was Whitey's.
Whitey's.
Thomas and Civic Center?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other is Bell Automotive, and that's on McDowell, just east of the 101 on the north side of the street. Now, I can tell you this much about Bell Auto. Craig and Vicky run it. Craig is one of the finest technicians I've ever met in my life. He's a tall guy. He's really just a personable guy. His hands are like tennis rackets when he shakes your hand. I just talked to his wife this morning, and she said he was riding motorcycles with a bunch of young bucks. He crashed, and he broke his shoulder, and he had to have his shoulder rebuilt. So, but he has staff there. But when it comes to really digging into something that's failed emissions or something that's got a noise or a check engine light nobody can fix, Craig is in the top 5 in the city. So,
I know you've recommended some. I know you've recommended some places up in the Scottsdale Air Park for just routine maintenance. Are you saying because this is a Toyota, you'd recommend those two southern locations?
Yes.
Versus something in the Scottsdale Air
Park? No, there used to be 3 shops in the Scottsdale Air Park, and they've all been sold, and I am not enamored by the new owners. And many of the new owners own 30 shops. And the idea of the sales and stuff like that, I'm not a part of. I'm trying to walk this fine line.
So, I know you're walking a fine line.
Okay. Oh, I'll give you one more. They're at Lincoln and Scottsdale Road, the southwest corner, is Bridwell Automotive. Bridwell Automotive. Bill Bridwell owns it, but his 2 sons run it. They're good guys. And you just say, I have nasty pictures of Mark Salem, so if you really do a good job, I'll give you one of them, and you can sell them to him for a lot of money. I don't get a commission, okay. But it's just funny to open the door. Anyway, I got to go, Tom. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. And we've got 3 lines open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, but we're going to go to Brian and then Mo next. So, Brian, good morning. How can I help you?
Morning, Mark. I've talked to you before, and you really helped out a lot. I'm a customer of Kurt's first, and then when I relocated, I'm a customer of Thompson's now, so everything's working out good.
Good.
I just want to say, I think it's going to be more important than ever in light of the, I don't have, organizations that have ganged together and invested in so many shops where people are retiring. I think you need to really thump hard on people studying their owner's manual, because I worked in the business and we used to do that. We'd look at it together. And that way you know your own. Why don't you look at your owner's manual? That you should. And that's what I have to say today.
No, I agree. I harp on that a lot, because you can take the same car into independent shops, chain stores, and dealerships, and you're likely to find three different ideas.
Yeah.
And here's the worst part. Brian, you're right. The worst part is all three of them are outside the parameters of your owner's manual. So the owner's manual is the Bible for your car. You need to follow the owner's manual, and you need to just glue their lips shut and just ignore what they say. Now, if they say to you the air filter is really dirty, and you say, just put it in the box, put the old one in the box, I want to take a look at it, and put the new one in the car. So there are a lot of ways, but thank you for your comments. And with Thompson's, you know, Thompson's been around since Jesus was a baby. And if you're dealing with Thompson, you're dealing with Brian or his wife. And I'm happy to hear that you're happy with them, because...
Very nice people. Very, very nice people.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you very much, Brian. Okay, let's go to Mo. Mo, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Okay, I've got a 01 Dodge Ram 5.9 gasoline, 4x4. And I've had a lot of old Rams. I love the Gen 2 style, body style. Okay, I've never had this problem before. When I go to check the oil, I can't get the dipstick down into the tube. It gets, like, blocked where you cannot get it down to check the oil. Okay, I took it to one place, and they said, well, it looks like you may have some type of obstruction where the dipstick hits down there by the oil pan, where you can't actually get it down that far. We've tried different, you know, tube brackets. It's the same thing. Doesn't matter what you do. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Yeah, we see it once a year. And you give it to the senior tech and you say, dipstick in and out, figure out what it is. And not too long ago, Eddie came up and he said, you're not going to believe what I had to do. He said, there must have been a ding on the top part of the neck of the holder. And as I put it through there, it would hang up. But I looked at the end of the dipstick, and I could clearly see that it was the top part of the dipstick that was hitting something. So I took a pair of needle-nose pliers, and I went, dropped the nose just a little bit. He says, it works now. I says, what do you want me to charge him? He goes, no, he's customer number 895, and we're at 38,000. So I'm going to give it to him for free. And I said, okay. I don't care. And so that's what we did.
Is it possible there could be an obstruction down by the oil pan
that you can't get
the dipstick all the way?
Let me change your question.
Go ahead.
I've been working on cars. I started in high school in 1970. I did 2 years, and then I opened my own garage because I was a policeman in the middle. And in 79, I opened my garage. I have never seen what you're talking about. I've never fixed it. I've never seen until just recently. And we all laughed at that because we gave it to Eddie and we said, you know, what are you going to do? And he says, well, the worst thing, I'm going to pull the dipstick tube out and put a new one in. That's certainly a possibility. But another thing you could do is you could buy one of those circular brushes and put it on a drill with a speedometer cable, kind of a flexible thing, and just go zzz, 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 in and out of that dipstick. But there's a real reasonable explanation. What part of you go to Thompson's, right? No. Where are you?
I don't know. I'm like in Paradise Valley, okay. West Paradise Valley, East Sunny Slope.
Okay. Are you anywhere Greenway and 40th Street?
Yeah, I'm pretty close.
Okay. Take it over to Blackwell's. Call and tell him you're coming. Tell him Mark Salem says he doesn't have a prayer in hell of fixing this, but have him call me if he needs help. And just right. And leave the rest of the story. I can't get the dipstick in sometimes. Now, something else you can do is turn the dipstick 180 degrees and see if that makes a difference. If that makes a difference, then it's not an obstruction. It's just some kind of a hang-up, and we know what to do. We're just going to bend the end of it just a little bit. But just go to Blackwell. Don't go on a Monday morning or Friday afternoon because we're all busy. And I don't know what he's going to charge. And if he charges anything more than $8, then tell him Mark Salem said he was ripping you off. But just have him take a look at it. Okay?
Blackwell. Okay. Heck, I'm going to be moving up the pace, and maybe I'll see you and your horses, huh?
Well, you brought up a subject. I've had horses for a very long time, and I just had my miniature mule die. And so I have them cremated, and then I pour their remains along the fence line next to the forest. And so then I just had Lena die, and both of them got ill quick and passed away. And do you know what the cremains of a horse look like? It's a 5 gallon and a half bucket. It's 5 gallons plus another half. So anyway, I poured Lena too, and then I gave my last paint to Stephanie in Prescott because she has the son of that stud. And so I'm out of the horse business. But when you come to Payson, I'll tell you there's two repair shops. There's Coyote Automotive and Miller. If you go to any of the
Coyote
rest
of and Miller, I'm going to remember that.
Coyote Automotive and Miller. There is an abnormal amount of people that don't know what they're doing, people that take advantage of their customers, people that have bad reputations, people that use pricing that's completely out of reasonability, and people who will lie to you and tell you all kinds of stuff. I see this all the time. I'll give you a quick example. Somebody did some work the other day, and they had to replace the fuel pump module on a diesel Ford. In order to replace the module, you have to take the oil or the fuel filter off. So that's part of the replacement. It's already built in there. So I looked at the ticket because somebody asked me to look at it, and I go, whew. I says, let me call my son. So I called Alan, and I said, hey, is there an extra charge for the fuel filter on top of a priming? He says, no, Dad. He says, that's part of the first one. So I looked at the ticket, and it was like $31 to change the fuel filter. And that's part of the $200 of work that just got done. Now, you could blame that on an honest mistake. You can blame it on anything you want. The idea, I don't like that. So the technician should have known that, and if not, the service writer should have caught that. But anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. There's five of them. And if you'd like to grab one, then now's the time. Gil is answering the phone. Be nice to him because he has a stupid finger that hangs up on people. 602-508-0960. Every Saturday until the middle of November, I'll be here talking about cars. And if you want, you can also send me an email. I'm mark@marksalem.com with a K. mark@marksalem.com. Salem is spelled like the cigarette. I've been called Salem Cigarettes all my life, as you well imagine. So anyway, 602-508-0960, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Glenn is going to be our next caller. And what's important here is we're going to do the very best we can to get everybody in. So Glenn's going to be first, and then Lori second, and then I'm going to get the rest of you, I promise. So Glenn, you're first. How can I help you?
Good morning. Let's talk RV, shall we?
Okay.
Do you mind?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've got a 2003 Tropical. Oh, my computer went back to sleep on me. I've got a description here to make sure I get it right. It's a 2003 Tropical Freightliner.
Is it a diesel chassis, and how many axles does it have on it?
It's a diesel chassis, yes, Freightliner.
Okay.
And I took it in for air conditioning in the cabin.
Okay.
And they want 12 hours to replace the lines, and I think that's a lot of time.
Okay. So they're going to replace one of the units that's on top of the box?
No, this is for the front cabin.
Oh, well, that's altogether different. we're going to have to take the filter out, orifice tube out. We're going to have to pull all the refrigerant out. We're going to have to take the compressor off of it. We're going to drain the oil to figure out how much is in it. And then we're going to take the new compressor and put oil in it. If that had 8 ounces, we're going to do that. We're going to replace the receiver dryer. We're going to hang the compressor back on. We're going to do the receiver dryer. Then we're going to suck it all down and let it sit for about an hour and a half. Then we're going to fill it full of Freon, and then we're going to go drive it to make sure that we got somewhere between 40 and 60 degrees out of the vent. And trust me when I tell you that price is in the middle of the ballpark.
That 12 hours is pretty legitimate.
Yeah, I mean we're doing 6 and 8 hours on Oldsmobiles and Chevrolets.
Mm-hmm.
And your big Freightliner chassis, the compressor is going to cost three times as much as the one we're putting in your Nissan or your Chevy or your Toyota.
It's the condenser, not the compressor. The condenser.
Okay. Well, we can't spend a lot of time on this, but the condenser is in front of the radiator, so the radiator's got to come out. And in order to do that, we take the shroud out, and we take the fan off. So we take the condenser off. We're still going to have to flush the system, put the new condenser in, put new O-rings in it. Then we're going to still evacuate and recharge it. So I don't know what to tell you. You ask me a question, and I know I have a Freightliner motor home. I know what it's like to work underneath the hood. So I think 12 hours, but if you want, just call somebody else and say, condenser R&R, remove and reinstall, all your air conditioning services and the labor, and let me see what it is. The only thing I'm going to tell you is you need to make sure you look them in the eye and you say, this is going to fix my problem, right? I don't want to spend $1,200 and then have the same problem a month later. So just look them in the eye and say, you better make sure your diagnosis is right. I got to run, Glenn, I got to go. So, Lori, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hi there. I have a 2017 Avalon with 28,000 miles that I just got from my parents who passed away. And on the air conditioning, when I put it to high, it's weird because sometimes after a minute or two, it'll bump up to the full high. And then sometimes after 20 minutes, it'll bump up to the full high. Does that make sense?
Well, let me
ask
you.
Even though it's on high, it's really not.
Okay. You're talking about the volume of air that's coming out of the vents?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Underneath the dash, there's a blend door. And the blend door it's a big box, and there's a flapper in the middle. One of the boxes goes to the dashboard, and one of the boxes goes to the center vents, and actually one part of that box blows down below. So here's my question to you. If you have a substandard airflow, the question is when you do, put your hands up on the defrost and make sure that there's no air coming out of that. If there is, remember that. Then you're going to put your hands down underneath the center of the dash where the heater air comes out, and you're going to do the same thing. If you walk into a shop and say, intermittently the airflow out of the vents is substandard even though I've got it on high, and I've noticed that when it blows cold air out of the center vents, it's also blowing cold air out of the bottom or at the top, that will help us immensely in figuring out what it is. Now, is the air cold no matter what?
Yes.
Okay. That means we're not going to be doing any Freon, or we're not going to be doing any parts or anything like that. This is an air dispensing problem. And a lot of the work's going to take place on the passenger side underneath the dash. So,
gotcha.
And this is likely to be $80 to find it and $1 to fix it. It's likely to be
gotcha. Something
like that. What part of town you live in?
North Phoenix.
Okay. You can go to marksalem.com and look at some of the guys that we have up there. If you don't have your other another shop, if you have another shop and you really love the other shop, then you should go back to them. Okay?
Perfect. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Okay. And Tony and Kevin and Eddie, please stay there because we'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Just like we promised, we're going to go to Kevin because Kevin waited almost 15 minutes. So, Kevin, you have my unadulterated attention.
Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate how you share all your wealth of the amount of cars there, and I listen to your show quite a bit.
Thank you.
Anyway, I've got a 2017 Ford Explorer, about 111,000 miles. It's got the limited package, and the it's got the like three memory buttons for the seats and mirrors on it.
Uh-huh.
And lately, over the last so many months, it's gotten to where it doesn't always reset back to the setting for that particular button, or It partially resets. And then also I noticed hands-free voice activation has gotten a little harder to get. You know, you got to push the button a few more times. And I'm wondering, do I need to get a software update on that car? It's, you know, 2017. I don't know.
You know, I'm not thinking it is. What I want you to do is focus on this. This will help the person diagnose it, and it will probably substantially change the money they're going to charge you. I need you to focus on pushing the buttons hard. So when you push the button for the seat, I'd like you to be outside the car. And the car's running, the car, it's in park and the door is open, and you want to push it for seat, you know, setting one or setting two. I want you to push hard on those buttons, because we see this a lot. And when I say to the customers, push hard on the button, they go, yeah, it makes a difference. Okay, you want new buttons or do you want to keep pushing hard? That's what it is. And I would say there's a 75% to 80% chance that I'm right. Now, the other thing you could do, if you want to, this is going to reset everything in your car, is pull the negative cable on the battery and just let it sit there for a half an hour. That will reset all your electronics. Now, even better than that, pay attention to what I'm saying. You pull both cables off and touch them together. Touch the cable ends together. Leave the battery alone. Now, that will wipe out everything. It'll wipe out all your seat settings, your mirror settings, all that kind of stuff. But you can start over that way. And I did that to a car the other day that was having a tailgate problem. The automatic tailgate opened and closed, and it fixed it. So
you just touch it together real quick, get the quick spark, and that's it?
No, there's no spark because your battery's not in it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. You just take the cables off and touch them together. Or you've got a little jumper cable with alligator clips. Just click here, walk away, tell the wife that you'll mow the grass, and then come back.
Okay. And then it got me thinking about the overall, you know, primary control module software. Any value, real value, in like going back to the dealer and have them do a reset, update, or whatever on the control module software at this point?
No, I don't know. You're using control module as engine function, and the control module controls fuel and spark and emissions and O2 sensor and all that kind of stuff.
They're that's not what I mean, huh?
Yeah, no. You can ask them to do that, but most of us won't do that if there is no problem. And
well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Yeah. I didn't want to make a problem where there is a problem.
No, and something else, too, is we only do that. We only reflash a car if we're trying to fix a problem that's really weird. In your particular case, we need to go through some steps before we do anything like that. But it's not going to hurt it. It's going to reset everything. And so you just have to reset your seats and all that other kind of stuff. But our shop probably does it once or twice a year. And we work on 20 cars a day. So there's your answer right there. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, Gil, have we got anybody in queue?
We do. Say hello to Chris.
Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Good. Hey, I've got a particular problem, and I've been guessing at it. I've got a 1998 Chevy motorhome.
Okay.
Or Chevrolet chassis, basically.
Okay.
It's got the 454 in it.
Okay.
And I've had desert rats before through some wiring, so I thought, well, some wiring again. But no. The only thing what I'm not having now is I don't have spark. And all the spark plug wires are there. Everything looks fine there, but I've got no spark at the spark plug.
Okay. Well, that's easy.
Oh, I replaced the control module.
Where is the control module?
Right next to the distributor outside.
Okay. Okay.
And then also I replaced the spark sensor on the crankshaft.
That's the crank sensor.
The crank sensor, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, well, it's got an HEI distributor. It has a coil in the cap, and and then you pull the cap off, and there's a little control module with two screws, and there's wires that plug into the end of them. So the only thing you really haven't checked is the coil. This isn't a tough thing for us to do with our electronics. We'll plug into the system, and we'll make sure that the distributor's spinning, and we get what we call a square wave. It's just kind of up and down and up and down and up and down. That's a wave signal. So we know that the distributor is spinning and stuff like that. One of the things that you should do is take the cap off and have somebody crank the motor over, and let's make sure the distributor's spinning. Because if the distributor's not spinning, then we either chewed off the gear at the bottom of the distributor, or the pin that holds the gear on is gone, or your timing chain's bad. How many miles are on it?
No, 86,000 miles.
Okay, you shouldn't have that problem then. As far as the timing gears is concerned, you shouldn't have
the we did take the distributor cap off, and the rotor does spin inside of the distributor itself. So you're saying inside the distributor cap is where that is?
Well, the coil's on top of the distributor cap.
And okay.
You said it's a 1998.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a cover on top of the distributor cap, and if you take the little quarter-inch screws out of there, and underneath it is the coil.
Okay.
And you could replace that if you want. To be honest, and do you have a 12-volt test light?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I want you to go to ground, and I want you to go to the negative side of the coil, and I want you to have your wife crank it over. And the light should flash, 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 flash. That means the coil's working.
Okay.
And so is the crankshaft sensor. If you put the ignition module in, it should be fine. Well, at that point, it's not going to start because of fuel or spark. And so you've handled the spark side. Are you sure it's not a low fuel pressure or a plugged fuel filter?
No.
Okay.
No. We disconnected the lines on it. And, of course, I don't have the hookups to do the gauges on it. But, man, just the fuel coming out like crazy.
Okay, but that's not good enough for me. Here's what I want you to do. Buy a can of carb spray. Take the air cleaner off. Have somebody hold the throttle half open. Spray like hell inside that throat. And then stand back and see if it starts for a second and shuts off. And if it starts for a second and shuts off, you got a fuel problem, probably a fuel pump. Or a filter or a filter that's plugged up.
So you check
that, because I'm not happy with the idea that you looked at something coming out of one of the Schrader valves and said it was okay. I can't even do that, so that's the reason why this is how we determine if you're absent the fuel. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, Mark. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm going to write down no start. Okay, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and Gil says we have another caller.
Say hello to Anna.
Anna, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I was just curious. I'm not sure if you answer questions regarding. I'm in need of a new car. I was planning to purchase a new car. What is the best ratio? Like, I'm not really sure what to offer. Is it better to offer cash or to finance it? And the amount that I can ask minus the MSRP price.
Okay, that's part of negotiating for a new car, and you go in and find something you like, and you just take a picture of the MSR. And then when you go in, if you have the ability to pay cash, they're not going to care if it's a credit card, or they're not going to care. I mean, if I were you, I'd use a credit card because you get the points.
Right.
But you just say, I'm a cash player, and I would like very much for you to give me two numbers. Number one, the sticker, and then number two, how much I write my check for. And here's why you say, write my check for. Because at the end of the day, some will go, well, we have shipping on the car, and we've already done a desert Wex package, and we already put this in the tires, and we've already did this, and we did this, and that's called the pack. So they pack the receipt with all of this fancy stuff that allows them to make more money. We did a pearl wax job on it, and then we treated the windows. You don't care about any of that. You want the MSRP, and you want to know how much am I going to pay for it, and I should only pay for the car, sales tax, and plates. The car, sales packs, and plates. I don't want anything else. I don't want any shipping. I don't want any transport. I don't want any of that. Then you get the information, and you say, thank you very much, and then you go to the dealer and figure out what they say.
Okay. All right. Appreciate the help. Thank you very much.
Okay, let me just tell you, other than the sales tax on the car, the pack is usually a couple of $100. So you want to start there. But and you know after you get done, you can call a couple places and say, I'm looking for this new car, whatever it is, and you say, do you have something in stock? Yes, I do. What color is it? Yes, I do. Would you email me information, tell me what the sticker says, and then tell me how much I have to write my check for to come over and pick it up? That's a perfectly acceptable question.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
All right, you bet.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Alrighty, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, unless we got somebody in queue, Gil.
Lines are open.
Lines are wide open, so 602-508-0960. Buying a new car is just really tough, and you have to negotiate, and it's not like he gives you a number, and then you give him a number, and then he gives you the final number. That's not the way I do it. You give me a number, I give you a different number, you give me a different number, I give you a different number. But they do like cash people, but they also make a little bit of money if you use their money, or if you get a loan, or if you use financing that they offer. Here's the deal. If you got cash, you can, if they say we're going to give you a little discount, but you have to use our financing, just look at the paperwork to make sure that you can bail out of it, and then you wait 30 days, 60 days, and then you write your check, pay it off, and you're done. So make sure there's no prepayment penalties and stuff like that. But it is possible, and there is no rhyme or reason. I think my family, because of our relationship with so many dealers, I think our family is the sticker price. It includes sales tax, license, ads, desert protection package, which is just wax, and all the ads. So what we struggle to do, try to do, is write the check for the sticker amount, which includes all the other crap. So the sales tax and this and that and desert protection package and nitrogen in your tires and all those things. Because all those other things are called pack, and they're really, really inexpensive to do, and our industry charges a hell of a lot of money for them. So you don't need nitrogen in your tires. You don't need fancy oil. If you want to get window tint, fine, and if you don't, then you can have somebody else do the window tint. So dealers are good people. But obviously there's this negotiation that's going to go on. And if you want to get a car and have a good feeling for the rest of that life, then some of the things I've suggested are good. We have a relationship with a guy named Rustin. And Rustin represents a very large dealership in town. And so we've developed this over time. And so not too long ago, my wife wanted a new Jeep Gladiator, that pickup truck Jeep, and she wanted the diesel motor. And we called Rustin. And he found one, and then he said to me, I know you're going to whittle on me. And I says, just tell me what the number is. I said, just how much do I have to write my check for? And so he gave us the number, and I thought, compared to what the vehicle sticker was, I thought there was a lot of stuff missing. So I said, you didn't put a desert protection package on this? You didn't put fancy air in the tires? You didn't? He says, no. He says, we don't do that for Mark Salem. Because you always whittle us down. I said, I don't always whittle you down, but that's what we do. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Oh, and we have a caller. Who might that be?
Say hello to Pat.
Pat, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Wonderful. So I've got a 20 Honda Odyssey, and we've been having an issue. I had it into a shop.
Okay.
And we had an issue where when we made a left turn, kind of a looping left turn, when it was going to third gear, there would be this delay and then a lurch in the gear.
A bang.
Very, very odd.
Okay.
So they diagnosed motor mounts. Those have been replaced multiple times, but we still had the issue. So the dealer, or not the dealer, the shop I had it at, wanted to keep it. They kept it all weekend. They drove it quite a bit.
We need to get to the end of this story, though. What happened?
So it's at Honda for a transmission, but they want me to pay $800 for a three drain refill and a computer. The one tech at the other shop says it's transmission, and this is for a different issue.
Okay. Well, I would go to Automatic Transmission Exchange down on Warner or on Washington, and I would say to those guys, Mark Salem sent me in. Look at this and tell? This could be a low fluid level. I don't even like the story that you're telling me, and I know that you're not making it up, but that's what everybody's saying. This could be a low fluid. I'm really mad that they put motor mounts on it, because that has nothing to do with what the symptoms you said. And so, you know, you're dealing with some people that are not, and then now you have two different people, two different diagnoses. So let's just go to a transmission shop. automatic transmission exchange on 40th Street in Washington, and tell Phil that Mark Salem sent you, and he said that you would cut my diagnostic fee in half, and he said you were going to start at $1,000, and he'll laugh because that says that I'm going to charge you $500 for your diagnostic fee, and that's a stupid number. So you can do that, and I suggest we get another. And then when you talk to the people at the independent shops or anywhere else, you have to be careful who you're talking to, because a lot of time you're talking to a salesman or you're talking to somebody who's never worked on a car, and when he talks to you, he's just guessing. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. And if you have a car question, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I wanted to talk to Chris again that had the motorhome. So if you're around still, then just hang around, and we'll talk about that. But I'm going to talk to Eddie first. Eddie, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. Hey, I got a 2010 Toyota Avalon, and I wanted to ask you about Marvel Mystery Oil. I've been using it for a long time, and I've had good results with it, in the gasoline, not in the oil. And have you got any experience with that?
Well, I don't like the idea of us using a petroleum product in the fuel tank of a car, because the catalytic converter is supposed to ignite any leftover fuel and send out good, clean air. It's not designed to handle an engine oil or an oil type consistency. So
I got you.
I get a little nervous, but I want to tell you, are you putting it in every fuel tank?
No. Sometimes I forget.
Okay. No, it's okay. Now, how often are you putting like a pint in every time you get fuel?
No, it's like 4 ounces every, 10 gallons.
All right. You know, if you wanted to keep it, I don't think 4 ounces is going to cause the catalytic converter to have a conniption fit and die on you.
I've noticed I get better gas, 2 or 3 miles going better, even maybe more.
Well, the oil wouldn't have anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the engine oil is the engine oil. Now, let's take it to an extreme. I put peanut butter in your crankcase. Well, now the engine's going to have to really work hard to pump that peanut butter around, so we're going to lose some power, we're going to lose some fuel economy. Then all of a sudden we change the oil and we put a 020 in there, and all of a sudden, your fuel economy doubles. I think the risk is not worth the reward, but you certainly, 4 ounces at 10 gallons isn't going to bother me at all, and frankly, how many miles are on your car?
So I got about 60,000.
Okay.
It was a real low mileage.
Okay. I wish it had 100,000. Would say to you, just go ahead and use it. 60,000, I'm a little bit scared because that oil. Now, I keep going back to 4 ounces, Mark, in 10, 12 gallons. I keep going back to that. But we have cars that take the catalytic converter completely out and they use oil. And so, they're the cars that drive around with blue smoke coming out of their tailpipes. You're not talking about that. You don't have any smoke out of your tailpipe. But as far as additives in the engine's concerned, I believe this. I think they're a really great marketing strategy, but I also know from Chevron and Valvoline, where I've been trained as an oil expert, it throws the oil you got out of specification. So the detergent isn't as good. The viscosity improver isn't as good. What we call the pour point is the low side, this low temperature that it will still flow. It affects that. And then on the high side, when it turns to a tar, it'll affect that. So like a synthetic turns to a tar at 500 degrees. Your motor's cooked at 300 degrees, and that other thing doesn't make any difference. On the low side, a 020 is going to flow out of the can at 50 below zero, and who needs that? So you've got these two parameters, high and low, but, it's up to you. My dad used Marvel Mystery Oil, and he loved it. And I talked to him just like I did you, and he says, with all due respect, I know that you know a little bit about cars, but I'm going to continue to use it. And he never had any problems. So
I had an old Mustang I bought in San Francisco, and it had never been out of town. And it was carboned up so bad that it had even pinned on premium.
Yeah.
And I poured some Marvel Mystery Oil in and drove it to Fresno and back, and it was running on regular after that.
And I can explain that. It clearly was carboned up. The valves were carboned up. The pistons were carboned up. And so the Marvaro Mystery Oil will soften some of that oil and carbon in there. And then when you get the car really hot, like you did on the freeway, we start melting that crap. So, yes, under the circumstances, what you did is you decarbonized the engine, and we have a little bit more sophisticated way to do that today.
I'm sure you do.
but you still accomplished your goal. And so I applaud you for that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, welcome. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Gil, stop. I'm just teasing you. I'm just, who's next, Gil?
Say hello to Don.
Don, good morning.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Oh, Donnie. I get scared when I hear Donnie's on the line, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Gil, put your finger on that button. You know what I mean? Button I'm telling you about, Gil, just keep your finger on it. Donnie, how can I help you?
I have a very sophisticated question.
Okay.
Okay, on hybrid engines, when the engine goes to the hybrid system, does the engine idle? And what happens to that engine oil if you're synthetic, at 10,000 miles, does it make a difference?
Well, I'm told that the synthetic oil is car-wide, truck-wide, and if it calls for a synthetic oil, then the hardest part is picking your weight, and I think on an electric car, they're going to be out down in the 10, 30, or 0, 20 level.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm running in my pickup right now.
Okay. And even though mine calls for that, I don't use that. I use a 1540, and it's a diesel, so I use a 1540, and I...
Right, they're using a fixation of 1540 between the tow trucks and the cars, and I'm not sure where they're getting it, but I'm doing 12,000 miles between oil changes. And at least that's what it was last time.
Well, no, I don't find any. But you're using the synthetic oil, so if you're doing 12,000 between, and now let me ask you this: how low is the oil at 12,000 miles on the dipstick?
It ain't doing anything. It's not moving at all.
We're home
on the full note.
You're home free. You're home free.
Yeah.
So that's it. Now, folks, Don and I go back to 1950s. He was a tow truck driver, and I was a gas station operator, and he was the only guy in the world who could load a car with a drunk in it and take the car and the drunk home. And he could also fish your car out of a canal, and he could also repo your car off your driveway, even if it was the second car in and the police were there and stuff. So he's a pretty good guy. Anyway, Don, thank you very much for calling, and good luck to you, buddy.
Take care.
All righty. And did he, hey, Gil, did he admit to having a hybrid?
I don't think he just had the question about the hybrid. I don't think he has one.
I was going to tease him about having a hybrid. My goodness. You know, but.
No, it was just, he just had the question about one.
Okay, because he's a hairy-chested guy, and you know what I'm saying? He's been around the block, and he's got a little grease under his fingernail, and I'm not quite sure that many of my cowboy buddies would want to be seen driving in a hybrid with their cowboy hat on, but then again, I've been wrong before. 602-508-0960. We got another one. Let's go.
Say hello to Brian.
Brian, good morning.
Good morning. I've got a 98 Toyota Tacoma coming up on 300,000 miles. It's got the 2.7 liter V4, a manual transmission. It's four-wheel drive, and it's an extended cab. When I'm driving down the freeway, it runs just fine as long as I am applying torque to the drive wheels.
Okay.
But when I let up on the gas on the off ramp, right around 50 miles an hour, it starts with.
Hold on, stop. It starts to what? We missed that.
Okay, it starts vibrating heavily as if the drive shaft were out of balance.
Okay.
And as I'm decelerating, I mean, if I apply throttle, the vibration will go away, but as soon as I release the throttle, it starts to vibrate, and it continues vibrating down to about 40 miles an hour, and then it smooths out again.
Okay.
I've gotten underneath, and I've
okay, we don't need to talk about that, because underneath and wiggling doesn't mean anything. You either have a brake problem where the brakes are pulsating, or you've got some problem with the transmission, any one of us old guys with gray hair could drive it and tell you what the problem is. But we're not going to crawl underneath the car. I can tell you that much. The motor mounts have a completely different symptom that you're talking about. An axle has a completely different symptom that you're talking about. The front axles on a front-wheel drive have a completely different system. But your car with 300,000 miles, it's we got to feel the vibration. We got to drive the vibration. We're going to try it in a different gear. We're going to throttle up hard and back off easy. And then we're going to try to feather the throttle. We may set the cruise control. The process is a very sophisticated one, but you got stuff going in one ear and coming out the other. You have to know what you're doing. What part of town do you live in?
I'm in Surprise.
Okay. Auto Dynamics would be a good place to go. I know that they have good technicians. I know that they are, I mean, if you say to them, I'd like to take somebody for a ride, I want to demonstrate it, then I understand that they're going to probably want to ride themselves, because most of us could diagnose that by driving it. We would know a transmission, we would know, but it's not going to be an engine mount because you're not matching up with an engine mount. So it's okay. You know, and if you let go of the brake pedal and it starts vibrating and you let go of the brake pedal, does that change anything?
No, the brake pedal doesn't affect it. It's just when I remove the power to the rear wheels, in other words, when I get off of the gas and just start decelerating, that's when I feel it.
Okay, but
and it's only at about 45 miles an hour.
Okay,
right,
well,
in that area.
Let's talk about something. The drive shaft is connected to the differential in the back of the transmission. So the fact
right.
that you let go of the throttle and the vibration is there or doesn't there doesn't mean we don't have a problem there. That doesn't mean
okay.
that's not a good diagnostic brain function in the right direction. Again, somebody just needs to drive it, and most of us will drive it for free as long as you don't come in Monday mornings or Friday afternoons, because we're up to our ears in alligators then. But, you know,
right.
you call Auto Dynamics and say, talk to Mark Salem on the radio, and he suggested that maybe you guys would have a small fee to just drive my car. I'd like to just take your technician, and I'll show him what I'm talking about. Then we can trade places, and I promise not to have him for longer than 15 minutes, because they're going to ask you that. People come in, and I put a technician in the car, and then 24 hours later, he shows back up, and he's really mad at me. And he says, I'm not going to tell you what's the matter with it because you just let that customer kidnap my butt. And I go, I'm sorry. So be respectful of their time. But anyway, got to run 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we've got all five lines open, and you're welcome to grab one. Welcome back, everybody. 20 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. You're more than welcome to give us a call and let us know if you have a car problem. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Got to do a little business, and then I'm going to get Wayne. When we talk about guys that really know their stuff, I talk about a lot of shops, but if you're anywhere near 38th Avenue and Indian School, Larry Harker's Automotive is a great shop. You're going to deal with Bob's wife at the front counter. You're going to deal with Bob and his nephew and some other techs in the shop. And I want to tell you something. They are really good at diagnosing problems. Really good. Because you got the old buck that can handle vibrations. Then you got the new buck that knows all about the torque converters and the transmissions and stuff like that. So you've got this variety of guys that have different levels of experience with different years, makes, and models of cars. So I can't tell you how many times I've sent somebody to Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue in school, and I get a call back from them saying, obviously they fixed it. Because I went in there, they did this and this, they gave me an estimate, they came in under my estimate, I drove it away, and I'm going, wow. So they're good. Larry Harker's Auto. Wayne, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. I have a question just for some clarification.
Okay.
Not disparaging anyone. One of the shops you recommend highly I use for oil changes. And anyway, I use a full synthetic in a 2011 Dodge Grand Caravan, 3.6 liter variable valve timing. So I understand lubrication is critical on these more sophisticated engines. They suggest changing that full synthetic at 6,000 miles. You have said that full synthetic should last longer than that. Can you enlighten me anymore?
How many miles are on your Dodge?
120,000.
Okay. I don't know. Let me tell you how that can happen in my own shop. You lift the car up in the air, and you look, and you got a variety of oil leaks. Now, the customer doesn't always know that they have an oil leak, but when you get underneath it, you can see them. You should say next time at your oil change, can I walk out? I promise not to bug anybody. I promise not to get in front of anybody. I would just like to look at the underside of my car. That's all I want to do. Then you want to go to the tailpipe and look at it. It should be black with carbon, but there should be nothing oily at the back of that. Do you ever add oil in between your oil changes?
No, and I check it, and it isn't using oil. It's got, you know, some very minor oil leaks,
okay.
But it doesn't consume in, you know, 7,000 or 8,000 or 9,000 miles.
Okay, and you always pass emissions, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
No problem ever with that.
All right, get on the website, find out what kind of oil they pour, and get on their website and ask. Go to the technical section and leave a note there that says, what's the range of my 3.6 Dodge Caravan I have 120,000 miles on? What range would you guys suggest that I change the oil in? Once they find out Arizona, they're probably going to drop it down just a little bit. So if they say 10,000 miles, they're probably going to drop it to 8 just because of Arizona and just because it gets hot here and because our engines are running 10 and 20 degrees hotter than the rest of the country. But that's not a bad thing, because the hotter the oil, then the less moisture you have. And the less moisture you have, the more protection you have. So it's not a bad thing. But that's what I would do. I would ask them, too. You can say it. Mark Salem says that we should be in the 10 to 15,000 mile range, but is my 120K bothering you? Or do you see something that you know, I don't see? Is there a reason why you're putting the sticker at 6,000 or 8,000 miles instead of maybe 10? They may say to you, you know what, I'll put it anywhere you want. We're just looking at the miles, we're looking at the car from the underside, and we thought that this would be the best deal. Just ask them. That kind of conversation for most of us is welcomed. And so, and there's a supervisor going to say, let's get it on the rack and let's take a look at it. So they may do that. But that's a good question, but the person that has to answer it is the shop.
Okay, well, it's your recommended shop in Mesa.
I understand.
And I like people. They're comprehensive and professional. So I don't have any quarrel. I was just looking for the difference in two different opinions.
And when you do that, then you have you might have three different opinions. You might have Mark. You might have the oil manufacturer, and then you got my Mesa shop. The real question is when you go in to the website of that particular oil, they have an area where you can leave questions and stuff. And you say that. Shop A says this, shop B says this, shop C says this. And I got 120,000 miles. What year did you say that was?
2011.
Okay. So it's 12 years old. That could make them nervous. But just, that's what I do. I'd handle it in that fashion, just ask them why. And then I would ask the manufacturer why. And what, do you know what brand they pour?
I do not.
Okay. Most of us are shooting it out of a gun, so we have a buy-in in bulk, and most of us have 300-gallon tanks.
Yeah.
And so we just, if it holds 4.5, we just squirt 4.5 in there. But now, there are times that my guys will not go to the 10 to 15,000 miles because it's a leaker and the rear bumper has spots of oil in it and they're worried about contaminating the catalytic converter, and a mileage has a lot to do with it. You remember we had one of those other guys here with 300K, Brian, on a 98 Toyota.
Yes.
I can tell you we wouldn't even put him in synthetic. We'd put a conventional and call him back every 5,000 miles. That's what we'd do. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, you bet. Let's talk about Action Auto. He's up on I-17 and Deer Valley. Tom and I have been friends and worked together since 1983. I'll tell you how I met Tom. Tom worked for a company that sold those big engine analyzers back in the early 70s and into the early 80s. Those things, I remember paying for my Bear, and it's called an Ace. This machine, this big scope, this big fancy-dancy thing, I spent more for it than I did my first house. But I've never regretted having a big scope in the shop, because the scope is just something that forces you into a diagnostic process. So Tom demonstrated that piece of equipment. We became friends there. He really is a good guy. He's been around since 1983 when he opened up his own shop. He has ASE Master certifications, and frankly, I don't remember the last time I had a complaint on Tom. So if you're up in the I-17 area, they're at I-17 in Deer Valley, and that might not be a bad place for you. If you don't have a shop already that you're happy with, then give them a try on an oil change or something like that. We got any other callers?
Yes, say hello to Neil.
Neil, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. I have a 2014 Dodge Caravan.
Okay.
I'm experiencing a intermittent noise. I call it a clunk when the engine starts sometimes.
Yeah.
And also, when I back out of the carport and I go from reverse directly to drive, I get that same clunk noise.
Okay.
That if we hesitate.
1 minute.
Going from reverse to neutral and hesitate a second and then go to drive, we don't seem to experience that.
Okay, how many miles are on it?
It's 50,000.
50,000. Okay. I don't have time to answer your question right now, so I'm not going to do you justice, but I want you to stay there. Because as soon as we get done with the break, I'm coming back to you, but I've got about 35, 40 seconds. I would like very much for you to determine if it's only cold and it never does it hot. That's important to me. I would like to know if the steering wheel to the left or the right changes anything. And I'd like to know if your wife has the problem as well as you have the problem. Those are questions I'm going to ask you or we'll talk about. But I'm going to come back to you right after the top of the after the bottom of the hour. And the phone lines are open, 602-508-0960, except Neil's got one, 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem every Saturday here on KKNT, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and I got a couple callers, but I got a little business to take care of. We talked about Tom Blackwell at 40th Street and Greenway. Tom couldn't fix a car if you spotted him the tools and experts. And, of course, I'm kidding, but if he's listening, I'm tickling him. He's been around a long time. Again, 40th Street and Greenway, he handles old vintage cars. He handles some motorhomes, and he handles what we call mom and dad's cars. So if you live up near in that area, he's a good shop. He's a good guy. So that, again, that's at Blackwell Automotive, 40th Street and Glendale, or 40th Street and Greenway. Anna, you had a, I need to go back to Neil. Neil, on your Caravan, the real question is do we have a broken motor mount? Do we have a high idle? Is something in the suspension shifting? So those three will create the problem that you have, and they probably, all of those, are probably related to whether the car is idling fast, as it does when it's cold, or whether the idle is dropped 100 or 200 RPM, which is called the warm idle. So if you go into a shop and you say, in the morning when it's cold, when I put it in gear, I have a really bad, and I'm just using this example, a really bad clunk, but during the day I don't have that. And those are, that's important. The bad clunk typically means a broken motor mount. And all of us know how to check that. And we just get in the car and open up the hood, look through the crack of the hood, and we put our foot on the brake, we put it into drive, and we just kind of stab the throttle a couple of times, and if the motor lifts up and falls back down and there's a clunk, it's got a broken motor mount. So that's how easy it should be to diagnose your car.
Okay. Can I ask you another question?
Yes, sir.
What do you use to wash wheel bearings, to clean out wheel bearings?
Well, in the old days, we used gasoline.
Yeah.
But today, we usually put them in a solvent tank. And it's kind of like a big dishwasher. And so you put all the bearings in this wire basket, and you push the button, and then you go do whatever you got to do, and you come back and you take them out, and they're really clean. And then oftentimes we'll wash them off with water to get the solvent off of them, and then we'll take an air gun and blow off of them. But we're not going to spin them with the air gun. We're not going to spin them. We're going to blow the back of the bearing and blow all the trash out, and then we're going to do the front of the bearing, and we're going to throw the solvent and the water out. At that part, we put it in a wheel packer. We pack them, put them back in the car, and we're done.
Where would I buy that solvent?
You can go to any auto parts store and just say, I want something that I can clean my wheel bearings in. They might sell you brake cleaner. They might sell you carb cleaner. Carb cleaner is a little bit more caustic than brake cleaner, so you don't want to have it around your hands a bunch. It'll chap your hands faster than you can believe. But some kind of and then they've got some water-based, petroleum removers, and you might just tell them, I want to wash my wheel bearings. What should I do? To be perfectly honest with you, there's not much you can mess that up. So, you know, if you just decide to go over and borrow somebody's air gun and wash them with soap and water, then blow the bearing out. Don't spin it in your hand. Just blow the bearing out, and then you pack it. That's all you need. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Neil. Anna, you had another question. And so Anna had called earlier about a new car and whether you pay cash or not, but I'm all ears.
Thank you. The reason I'm calling again, I have a 2010 BMW 5 Series. It has 200,003 miles. And last time I had a recall, they mentioned something that after they checked it, that I have my fuel tank, and I can smell the fuel in my garage sometimes. Because I don't think I'm going to keep the car, I'm going to either sell it or whatever. I don't know whether it's worth for me to fix that and whether that would be approximately how much, or is that rather expensive to fix?
Well, I don't know what we're fixing, but can I make a suggestion to you? Do you have a shop you like that does your oil changes?
Not really. I'm new to the area. I'm in Mesa near Queen Creek.
I would go to Thompson's, but here's what I would say. You take it in for an oil change or a tire rotation, something simple, and say, oh, by the way, I smell gas. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's the fuel tank, it's going to be the top of the fuel tank. There's a big round piece of metal that the hose comes out and goes forward, and the vapor comes out and goes forward, and there's a bunch of little bolts there, and there's a gasket there.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that will leak only when the car is above three-quarter mark or above half mark. It'll leak then.
Okay.
And then it'll run down the top of the tank and run down the sides of the tank, and when we have it up in the air, we can look at the gas tank and see that the leak is on the top. Then the question is, if we drop the tank down, and we won't do it if it's full, so don't fill it up. You drop the tank down and you look, there's usually a big O-ring in there, so you take the top off and you look, the O-ring's as hard as a rock, and from that point over to this point, I can see gasoline running across the top of the tank and running down. So I'm going to put a new O-ring on it, put it back together, and we're done.
Okay, I see. Okay, thank you again.
Okay, you bet, Anna. Thank you. Adam, you're up next.
Hi there. Enjoy your show, Mark.
Thank you.
So I have a 13 Toyota Tacoma with a 4.0 in it.
Okay.
And when I'm driving down the road, like low RPMs, sometimes with the air on or it could be with the air off, and I'm putting the gas on lightly, so like I said, kind of at the end of the gear in a low RPM, I get like a detonation sound.
Okay.
And, you know, as soon as you push the gas down after that, it goes away. It's just like in that low RPM thing. It's a new vehicle to me. I just bought it like a couple months ago. So I wondered if you could help me.
Adam, I can't, because an engine will ping, called pre-ignition. An engine will ping.
Okay.
If it's throttled up. So I'm taken off from a traffic light, and I'm either at normal or slightly more than normal, and my engine has a rattle all the way across the intersection. So let's narrow it down right now. Get it as low as you dare and put half a tank of premium in it. Then go drive it and see if that changes anything. If the motor's real carboned up, the compression ratio is also up. The higher the compression ratio, the more premium gas we need. Now, let me explain the difference between regular and premium. I want you to picture this. You take a big pan of molecules of regular, and one molecule ignites 100, and 100 ignite 1,000. So the burn is, boom, that fast. Okay? Super.
Right.
One, in an exaggerated way, one ignites two ignites four ignites six. And so the boom is more of a boom. It's longer. So if you drop the tank down and you put in a super, first of all, you're going to verify that it's still doing it. Then you're going to drop the tank and you're going to put some super, or you're going to just put some super in it, and it goes away. Then we're going to look at the EGR valve. We're going to look at the timing, and we're going to look to see if it's all carboned up. One thing you can
do. I did do premium gas. Sorry.
Okay. If you want to see if it's a carbon issue, take it out on a Sunday morning, look around the on-ramp of the freeway, and just throw that thing to the ground and just let it go. And maybe you're doing 60, 70 at the end of the runway, and it's, or the entrance. It's Sunday morning, nobody's out there, and then you can back off, and then you can get off at the next exit, and then throttle down hard. And if it goes away, or if it gets worse, that's something that's important. So I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you how to check to see if it's a gasoline issue or if it's a carbon issue.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Alrighty.
I thank you very much for calling.
And I appreciate it, Mark.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for the compliments as well. 602-508-0960. Do we have anybody in the queue, Gil?
Lines are open.
See, Gil runs the show. Gil is the pilot of the airplane. I'm sitting in first class. And I really don't have to do anything. I don't have to push buttons. I don't have to do anything. Gil's flying the plane. But let me tell you what my life is. At 17 minutes after the hour, I need to take a break. But that's a fuzzy one. So if it's 16 and a half, or it's 17 and a half, or it's 18, Gil has a magic wand to make that work. At 30 at the bottom of the hour, 30 minutes, I have to hit that perfectly. So I'm going to say my last word at 29 minutes and 58 seconds. That's my job. At 40 after the hour, I have to take another break. That's a fuzzy one. I can be late on the break. I can be early on the break. Gil's going to cover for me. And then at the end of the show, 58:50. That's 58 minutes after the hour and 50 seconds. He wants me to breathe my last breath. Now, I've been doing radio since 1988, and Gil and I are like peanut butter and jelly. I've been working with him for the last 10 years or more, and we just work together really, really well. Now, every once in a while, it's true that I'll miss something, and this is what I'll hear from Gil. And he's hitting the mic saying, "Hey, idiot, look at your clock."
Yeah, I'm not next door hitting the door.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm in Payson, and he's in downtown Phoenix. So we're not. It's not like we're knocking on the door or we're even close together, because I have a studio up in Payson. So it's just fun for us to work together. He's probably the best board op or engineer. They got a million names, because he can cover up. So if I miss a spot at 30 at the bottom of the hour and I go to 30:50 or 30:40, 40 seconds after the hour, no problem for Gil. He can make it up. He can make it a little longer, make it a little shorter. He just makes and fixes things for me. So I really appreciate him, and he's really good at what he does. But am I really late for my 40 right now?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I'm talking about him, and we just turned 45:03:04, and I'm supposed to break at 40, but he's got it. He's got it. So I just said to him, "Did I just blow through my 40? And he goes, "You sure did. But you can keep talking," he says, "because you're really being nice to me." Anyway, when we come back, we'll take your call, 602-508-0960. So off the air, as soon as I got off the air, I said, "Hey, Gil, you got your ears on?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Did I just blow through the 40? He goes, "Yeah." He says, "You were close. It was 46. And I said, "Okay, thanks for covering for me." He says, "No problem," because that's one of the fuzzy breaks. We can make it happen. Real quick before I take Rob on the phone, and if you want to call in, 602-508-0960, I want to talk about two shops. Automatic Transmission Exchange has been in Phoenix since 1968. Phil used to date Barney Rubble's daughter. Phil was around when Fred Flintstone was doing automatic transmissions. They're very, very good. So if you want to stop by, or if you got a problem, don't go by Monday or Friday mornings and ask for a test drive, because those are busy days for all of us. But if you call and say, "Can I bring it in?" I can demonstrate the problem, and I won't have your technician for very long at all, because I've learned how to make the problem happen. Then Automatic Transmission Exchange is where you go, 40th Street in Washington. One other place is Auto Dynamics. It's the only shop in Sun City that is applied, and I really like them. I've known Chuck since 1976, and he's the owner of Automotive Dynamics. The people there know right from wrong. They know good from bad, and they have a fire-breathing Adam Henry as their boss. And so that is something that's important. Anyway, Auto Dynamics is over there on let me think about this. Hold on. Oh, the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. North side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. So if you live in the Sun City area and you don't have a garage already, then Automotive Dynamics would be your one that I would suggest you to. Rob, good morning, and how can I help you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a 1975 Ford F-100 short bed pickup truck that I recently purchased, and overall it's in good condition. However, upon driving it, I want to kind of have it as my daily driver. And what I've noticed recently is on two occasions, it's completely just died on me in the street, to which I have to pull over, park it, and attempt to try to restart. And at two times, it would not restart at all.
Okay, I've got to wait several hours. I need to ask you questions. When it doesn't start, it cranks,
yep,
but doesn't catch.
Yep.
Okay, and it
correct
cranks normal speed.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. And after a few hours, I'd come back to it, and it would start right on up.
Okay. The temperature change will be answered once you find it and fix it. Carry an old spark plug in your pocket. When it dies, pull off to the side of the road. Have your wife come out of the cab. Pull one of the wires, put the spark plug in it, have her hold it against something metal, and then you crank the car over. Do we have spark?
Gotcha.
Second thing, gotcha, you carry a can of carburetor spray. You can do this by yourself. Can of carburetor spray. You take the air cleaner assembly lid off, and you spray in there,
yep,
for about 5 seconds. Put the lid back on, start it up. If it starts for a second and dies, then you got a fuel problem. So it's only going to be one of two. You're losing spark or you're losing fuel. And on your F-150,
gotcha,
it's got an ignition module for spark, but it could be the pole piece, which is the set of points, so to speak, in the distributor. So it could be either one of those,
gotcha,
and it could be an ignition module that's on the fender. So it could be,
gotcha,
any of the three, but we have the equipment today that we just plug your module in and it tests this and it gives us a pass-fail. So that's going to be a $20 test, but it's going to be a pass-fail. However, if you got a hot problem and not a cold problem, then we're going to say we're 99% sure that it passed the test, but here's how we want you to do it. We want you to check for spark again. Now, the pole piece talks to the module talks to the distributor and the coil,
gotcha,
and gives you all the fire. So the question is fuel or spark. Now, you could do something kind of fancy in this respect. You could take a 3/8 fuel line and you could stick it in the air cleaner assembly and have 8 feet of it that's hooked up to a propane tank where you took the end of it off and you just slide the 3/8 hose over the end of the threaded brass neck on the propane tank. And so you're driving,
yep,
down the road and you feel like it's about to happen. You just open up the valve real quick.
that sounds awesome.
Yeah. we do that all the time. It's every time the car dies and it won't start, but it cranks. And people have to understand that,
yeah,
cranking and starting are two different cha-cha-chas. So
it's
spark or fuel, and you and I have just touched on both of them. We had a customer one time that he went to an auto parts store and he had him build him like a 10-foot spark plug wire. And then he put a spark plug in it, and then he took a big clip and he grounded it. And so he's driving down the road, and inside the car, nobody would touch that spark plug because it would bite them and they would use bad words, but he could hear it,
yeah,
click all the time. And then when he throttled up, it was real fast. And then when he's idling, it's tick, tick, tick. And then all of a sudden it goes away. And now it won't start. So we got a problem. Now we're going to check the pickup, the coil, and the module. And that's it. That's all it is. Okay?
So when you reference a hot problem, you're saying it's more of a spark.
Yeah, when you put a long spark plug wire in there, then you're checking for spark.
Yeah.
And
gotcha.
When you
go ahead.
No, when you put propane in it, you're checking for fuel. The absence of spark, the absence of fuel.
One or the other, yeah. So I'm taking it over to a Chuck Speed Center tomorrow. I'm going to have them just test it for a couple of days and kind of get their 2 cents on it over there off of weld.
Uh-huh.
You've got potentially good thoughts about it. It's kind of a more of a classic car dealership or repair shop.
Okay, and you You know, I don't want everybody to think that you have to take an old car to a gray-haired guy. That's not the case.
Yeah.
I've been around since 1968, and I've gone through points and condenser, and I've gone to electronic ignition, and I've gone through fuel injection, and I understand the fundamentals of all of those. And as a matter of fact, us gray-haired guys could probably fix your truck, if the truth be known. We could answer the sparker fuel in 5 minutes.
yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for, though.
Oh, you're looking for an old gray-haired guy, not so much as a shop, but an old. But it's certainly, you're okay. Let me offer one other one. What are you in the Indian School, Central Avenue area?
Yeah, I'm in Central Phoenix.
Okay. We got 25th Street Auto. They're a good guy. Billy at 25th Street Auto is an old drag racer, and this would be on a 1 to 10 scale with a diagnostic process. This would be a 1-2. That's all.
So is that off McDowell?
No, he's at 25th Street and Indian School.
Oh, Indian School, even better.
Yeah. And you call him to get an appointment, because right now I know my shop is two weeks and 3 days behind. And I don't know why, and I don't care. We're happy. But the fact of the matter is the other day, one of my best friend's truck broke down, and he says, you know, how long will it take? And I call my daughter, Andy, and she says, Dad, we're three days away from taking his truck in. So I said to him, you're 3 days away. And he goes, well, I've already called a bunch of other people. And he says, everybody's the same way. And I said, so you're my best friend, and you called three other shops before you called me?
Yeah.
And it's
so,
okay.
So, you know, if I... Now, with driving down the street, though, and it just completely dies on me, would you agree that's more of a fuel issue versus a spark issue?
No, because the ignition module can go out with the snap of fingers. The distributor can go out with the snap of fingers. The coil can go out with the snap of fingers. You'll answer all the questions on how long it takes to come back or when it happens when you find out what it is. Now, something else you could do. Do you have a 12-volt test light?
Yeah.
Okay. Go to the negative side of the coil, bring the test light inside, and then use a jumper to ground it. Now, when you start the thing up, that little test light's going to go, right?
Okay.
And then you'll just drive around and look at the test light, and you're on the negative side of the coil, which is the switching side, and you're just going to keep it, and then all of a sudden it falls on its face and it dies, and you look over and the motor's, you're cranking it over and there's no light there. You're done. You got an ignition module or a coil.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I certainly appreciate your time.
You're welcome. It's nice when you get a couple of guys that know what they're talking about, but it's more fun when we have just symptoms. So you may not have understood what we talked about, but like I say, symptoms is what I live for. Who's on the phone?
Say hello to Brianna.
Brianna, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you today?
Well, I was following along with the previous gentleman, and that may have... I have a 91 Camaro, and I'm having ignition issues, but that's besides the fact. I'm having also issues passing my ignition. I changed the spark plugs, and I
recently... Hold on. We don't want to talk that way. I don't have much time. Did you fail HC, CO, or both?
Both.
Okay. So the CO will drive the HC up. CO is running really, really rich. Oxygen sensor, EGR valve, vacuum leak, fuel pressure regulator. There's a bunch of places the engine's going to get gasoline that it shouldn't. So then CO is going to drive up HC, and so when we have a CO failure and an HC failure, we're going to work on the CO, and once we fix it, the HC comes down. But you've got a problem with the fuel mix.
Okay.
All right. Do you have a shop, Brianna?
You know what? I do most of the work myself with my, my dad helps me.
Okay.
Most of the time. He can't right now.
1 minute.
But I do most of the work myself. I don't have a shop, but I'm in Surprise, and I know you've mentioned a few in Surprise.
Okay. Well, your 91 Camaro, most of us old guys would just plug our scanner into it and go drive it, and we would look at the oxygen sensor, we'd look at the fuel, we'd look at the spark, we'd be able to do it. A lot of our diagnosis is right there. But then again, if you find a shop that can't find it, and you know that you're going to take it in, and the shop says it never did it, you know, you're always going to do that. So then the next question is, and if the shop says, hey, Brianna, for $25, I'm going to plug in a fuel gauge, and I'm going to bring it through the crack of the hood, and I'm going to tape it to the outside of the windshield, and I want you to do it for a day, 24 hours. I'm going to charge you $20, but I'm going to put a fuel pressure gauge on there, and I want you to make sure it's between 30 and 40 the whole time. And if it falls down to 10 or 12, boom, we're done. So that's how it works. Thank you, Brianna. My email is mark@marksalem.com, mark with a K at marksalem, like the cigarette, .com. And I answer your calls, and if you give me a number, I'd rather call you.